What's good, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen here with you for Week 10 waiver wire pickups around the National Hockey League, joined by Nick Alberga from Sportsnet. What's going on, buddy?
Petey, I'm fantastic. Feeling good after a winner's weekend. So we're going to build off that this week. Nice. And obviously it's Monday, so you know what that means. Waiver wire James in the house. James, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, Nick, I can see the smile. I know you hammered Vancouver last night.
Love it. All weekend, boys. I even won my Grey Cup pick. So I'm gonna think positivity, because the next time I'm in the dumps, I'm not going to remember that.
You're just going to fire the management team and move on?
Pretty much. And, you know, it's funny, you know, we can start there, guys, because I think it's so interesting in pro sports when teams make changes, the initial spark. And I've been saying this for a while. And, you know, Pete, I'd love to get your thoughts, just the Vancouver Canucks and how you make some changes and all of a sudden they're beating everybody, including Carolina, on the back to back. I get that. But I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen from Vancouver. And obviously it stems with Thatcher Demko, no?
Yeah, and I think the new spark definitely has reignited their back end a little bit, like in support of Thatcher Demko. And we've seen so quickly Thatcher Demko with the heavy workload, you know, kind of had a renewed purpose. He looks like an elite goalie, like I think we all expected him to be in long-term leagues after what we saw in the playoffs 2 years ago. And Nick, I know you pointed it out on Twitter, like some of the improvements. For me, I said it a couple of shows ago, it starts with the penalty kill, right? Those are those prime momentum swing opportunities, and they were 65% prior to the coaching change. So far after the coaching change, 80%. That's a great start for this team, and I think like they've always had the offensive firepower to back it up, maybe some line tweaks here and there, and all of a sudden you're working with something special again, and you're looking like a team with a renewed purpose that can make some noise here in the Pacific.
Who would have known you stay out of the box and you start winning hockey games and start killing penalties because you're staying out of the box? And James, along those lines, these two teams that make changes a week ago, Philadelphia, Vancouver, they've now won 6 of the last 8 games. I believe more in Vancouver. Where do you stand there?
I 100% believe more in Vancouver. I would agree there. And you know, I've railed against some of the moves that Philadelphia has made. One of the moves that I disagreed with them making was Keith Yandel, but he has been really good over the last, you know, week and a half. He's, you know, he's been a power play king over their last 6-7 games. So, you know, that's definitely something to be a positive for Philadelphia, but I'm just not sure if they have the sustainability compared to, you know, Vancouver. Vancouver has a I'm not going to say a Stanley Cup roster, but they have a playoff caliber roster for sure. And you look at Thatcher Demko, he is one of the best young goaltenders in the NHL. That top nine, really, with how, you know, they're deploying everybody. It's still a little concerning that Elias Pettersson isn't performing the way that we expect Elias Pettersson to, but they have that top line of, you know, with Miller and Garland. Horvat looks like he's a little rejuvenated right now, too. So, you know, there's a lot of depth there. And this is the prime time to buy low on some of these guys. Brock Besser had a great week. And we were all wondering what was going on with Besser. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of buying the bounce back for Vancouver.
And someone was asking on Twitter, Bo Horvat or Joel Eriksson Ek. I mean, I'm not so quick to say that Bo Horvat and the Vancouver Canucks are going to be as consistent of a team as Minnesota or Vegas or Colorado out west. But, you know, could they rise to the middle half of the Pacific Division, compete with teams like L.A., teams like Anaheim? Anaheim looks really good. Anaheim's not in the middle half anymore. They're at the top of the Pacific standings as of Monday morning, if you could believe that. But yeah, I do think maybe Anaheim is a slight step above Vancouver in the roster construction and overall trajectory of the team. I think maybe that's a fair comparison of what the ceiling is for this Vancouver team for the rest of the season. Where do you guys lean? Where you look at the trendy team like Anaheim, are maybe the team with a little bit more high-end talent and firepower in the Canucks. But I do think the Ducks have the better overall roster.
Yeah, I would tend to agree there, certainly. And, you know, I am a believer, first and foremost, in the Anaheim Ducks. Anthony Stolarz is a guy we'll be talking about momentarily. You talk about waiver pickups. I know Anaheim has two games this week, but certainly, you know, Troy Terry, what he's done so far this season, a penalty shot goal in OT, like everything's going their way. And they've exceeded expectations for sure, James. And the five-game week, like we call that the golden unicorn of schedules in fantasy hockey. To have a five-game week and go 3-1-1, and we'll see what happens here with John Gibson. I can no longer sleep, James, on the Anaheim Ducks and what they put together so far this season.
I've been in Anthony Stolarz defender since last season. For anybody who listens to the podcast, they can remember. And trust me, I love John Gibson. I think that he's one of the top 10 just from a talent perspective, goaltenders in the NHL. And I was super happy to see him having the year that he's had. And, you know, you don't want to see a guy like that go down to injury, you know, same thing akin to a guy like Igor Shesterkin. You look at how Alexander Georgiev has filled in over the past week and a half since then, and it's been fantastic. And Stolarz looks like he's doing the same thing for Anaheim. So yeah, I'm very high on what the Ducks are doing at the moment. I know we had a few questions, you know, Troy Terry or Trevor Zegras. I think, you know, would you, you know, where are people still on Trevor Zegras right now? I'm buying everybody on Anaheim. You know, is Troy Terry the real deal? Jack Hughes or Trevor Zegras for the remainder of the season? Would you rather roster Terry or Zegras from Anaheim in a points plus minus blocks and hits league? You know, what Ducks player would you roster in fantasy, Gibson, Terry, or Milano? I'm taking all of them right now. And you have to, because they just keep consistently proving all of us wrong, because nobody expected this from this team this season so far.
And I do like Troy Terry a little bit more than Trevor Zegras for the rest of the season, now that Ryan Getzlaf came back from injury over the weekend, because that was that amazing connection from earlier in the season that had Terry as the clear-cut breakout player of the season. Of course, since Zegras has really come on strong with some flair and some multi-point games left and right. But I would answer that question saying Terry by a hair over Zegras right now. We also got a question, Nino Niederreiter, who's been hot for the Hurricanes versus Troy Terry. I would certainly go with Troy Terry there, especially after his big night on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm riding this Terry train to the grave. I hope the Olympics happen. I hope he's there. We'll see if he makes it. There's a lot of depth on that American roster. But guys, why don't we jump through, you know, the upcoming schedule this week. I, for one, love to play the schedule manipulation in fantasy hockey, you know, and I'm talking more so head-to-head leagues. I like to look at the schedule, manipulate the schedule when I can. And certainly a team we're looking at this week, you know, Chicago, clearly, with the Monday, Wednesday, at least to start, they got a 4-game slate. Why don't we run through some names, you know, on Chicago? I've identified even the Nashville Predators as a team to look at this week from a waiver point of view. To an extent, Seattle, and I really, really try to dig deep and try to look at some guys. Hey, yeah, you should pick them up. I don't know. I'm lukewarm now, and now Yanni Gord's out of that lineup, so maybe you steer clear. But certainly we know there are 12 teams in total with a 4-game week, so I'll list them off quickly. Boston, Calgary, Carolina, Chicago, L.A., Nashville, Jersey, Ottawa, Seattle, Toronto, Vancouver, and Vegas. But the two teams, again, I'm looking at, and James, maybe you can jump off this, Chicago and Nashville. And certainly, maybe I'm looking at a Captain Serious this week, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big buyer in Nashville at the moment. You look at, you know, what these guys are doing. They're overachieving as well. They're kind of in that same realm as the Ducks, where it was a team that we were not expecting very much from. And, you know, they did get the big hit over the weekend with Ryan Johansson in entering into the COVID protocol. So, you know, we're going to have to see how quickly he bounces back from that. If he's going to be out for, you know, the full time, or if he tests negative and gets back into the lineup very quickly. You know, obviously Ili Tolvanen, his fantasy value hinges on whether or not he has Ryan Johansson, because that connection over the past 2 weeks has been absolutely electric. I still would buy Tolvanen right now from Nashville, just because you look at it and the production, while the points haven't been there on the season, the rest of the production for him has, 74 shots on goal. That's third on the team, 48 hits. So he brings a lot of category coverage to the table, even though he hasn't been really scoring up until the last about 2 weeks. So I'm still buying a guy like Tolvanen, but I think a lot of his production is dependent on having somebody with him there, like a Johansson, Colton Sissons, guys like that. You're always going to, have some streaming value with Nick Cousins. The big guys in that lineup, we know right now, the Josi, Duchesne, Forsberg, Granlund. So, I don't know really how everything else is going to play out, because they've only played one game with Johansson, and we kind of have to see what they do after that. But yeah, there's a lot of appeal, especially in DFS and streaming wise, for Nashville going forward this week.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Philip Tomasino is another guy on that top line right now, elevated because of what's going on with Duchesne and Johansson, Luke Cunning, Pete, I would add as well, with Chicago, Jonathan Toews, as I alluded to, Dominic Kubalik, Kirby Doc. You got to take those flyers. Again, I talked, Pete, about schedule manipulation. I think you take those flyers and hope they work out, right?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to mention Tomasino because he's a rookie. He's one of those new wave players on Nashville, like Tolvanen, that they're going to give big roles to moving forward now that Arvidsson's gone. I know that the top line has been dynamite for Nashville when healthy. It's a shame to see Duchesne miss the past two games. We hope he's back soon. But if he's not, and even if he is, I think Tomasino is going to be a fixture in the top six for the rest of the season, points in consecutive games since Duchesne exited the lineup. And yeah, you look at his track record, top end prospect, ripped up the OHL, had better than a point per game in the AHL last year. He's been on Nashville's radar for a while, and this is the opportunity for that franchise to start introducing some of its young talent instead of that stale group that we've seen for like the past 3 or 4 years that has been on a steady decline. So yeah, Tomasino is the one guy, even more so than Tolvanen, that I think could do something special over the course of the rest of the season.
Yeah, because there's value in where he situates in the lineup right now. And I must add that the only thing hotter than me this weekend on the betting lines was the Nashville Predators. They're on a roll right now, and I got to give them credit because I was all over them in the offseason. I thought turnover was needed, but I guess not. And it certainly helps, of course, when you have UC Saros in there. Some other names I'll throw out there because, again, I think people listening want to set up their week. And I do think schedule manipulation is a big time strategy of mine, and I seem to find success. So I think a lot of people should look at that. I'm looking at Craig Smith in Boston, Rasmus Anderson with Calgary plays in the lone game on Monday. As we know, we mentioned Niederreiter, Seth Jarvis, guys, continues to impress me. Like, it's, he's not a rookie that gets a lot of play, but just doing his thing quietly with Carolina. Victor Arvidsson's quietly a guy who's really stepped up offensively since coming back. Pavel Zak is a guy certainly I would look at, especially with Nico Hischier in that situation. And Tim Stützle, James, it's taken a while, and that's my fascination with younger players in this league. Bob, you want to chime in here?
Yes, Nick. I just wanted to, before James chimes in with, his response to all these names you're throwing out there, I already got the counter for you. You've said schedule manipulation like 6 times. We're about 20 minutes into the program, so
it's big.
You have a chance. You have a chance to break the all-time Fantasy on Ice record for a certain term. Schedule manipulation up to 6, James. Pretty impressive for the
Hashtag
Nick.
It. Put a shirt on it.
That's the hashtag today is hashtag schedule manipulation. A lot of the guys, Nick, that you just mentioned are guys who, I had on my list this week. It's hard to edit myself down to 10 guys. But for sure, I love what Rasmus Anderson is doing right now for Calgary. Points in 3 of his last 4, had a power play assist over the weekend against Boston and in his 2 Apple game, 15 assists on the season right now. So, a guy who's 45% rostered with a plus 13, who's giving you top pair exposure and top line exposure on one of the best teams in the NHL, jump all over that. And yeah, with what Stützle is doing lately. He had a power play assist over the weekend. Just been an absolute beast. 5 points in his last four games. 13, 15 shots on goal, somewhere around there. So yeah, he's one of those guys. And you look at him, you look at a guy like Alexis Lafreniere from last year. You know, the COVID season last season, you know, really screwed these guys a little bit just because they didn't get the full training camp. It took them a while to kind of get up to speed. Now you're starting to finally see that when they're about at the point where they're a full year into their playing career and they're starting to show what we thought they were going to be as these top picks. He's starting to skate with a lot more confidence. The Senators as a whole are starting to play with a lot more confidence. I mean, look at what they did over the weekend against Tampa Bay, albeit they were playing against Brian Elliott instead of Andre Vasilevsky, but you got to play the team that that's iced in front of you. And he looked like one of the best players on the ice for the Senators. Again, they have a tricky open to this week at Florida and at Tampa Bay, but then they finish at Philly and at Boston. So I would say definitely you could take a flyer on a guy like Stützle with a four-game week this week with the confidence that he's playing with.
And Stützle, I saw, just gained dual eligibility in Yahoo League, so he's center, left wing eligible. So, and I do think that the success of that top line in Ottawa, you mentioned Tkachuk with Batherson and Norris, those guys are like, should be owned in all formats, especially Tkachuk, obviously. But I feel like as that line ignites, you're going to see the second line, you know, opportunities open up for the second line against at least marginal opponents where they could have some big nights as well as a result of the other line's success. So yeah, definitely considering Stützle. I'm interested a little bit, James, a little revitalized play from the New York Islanders lately. And that's not a team that we usually gravitate towards fantasy wise, but I'm seeing Anders Lee cover some categories and scoring some goals. And then we're seeing another guy, even though he's on the third line, Oliver Wahlstrom, is absolutely blowing up right now. I do not understand or know how Barry Trotz cannot put Oliver Wahlstrom with Matthew Barzal in the very near future with how well Wally's playing right now. Right, James?
I am Oliver Wahlstrom's number one defender at the moment. Actually probably number two, because Nick is the biggest Islander fan any of us know.
Love him.
But you look at the numbers right now for Wahlstrom and what he's doing. He's second on the team in goals. He's second in points, second in shots on goal, and is tied with Matt Barzal for power play point lead with six. And right now he's 12th among forwards in average time on ice. And in every game lately that he and Ross Johnston, who's been in the lineup, and Ross Johnston is a very solid bottom six player. He's a younger version of Matt Martin. But every game so far lately that Ross Johnston has been in the Islanders lineup, Oliver Wahlstrom has skated less than Ross Johnston, and he has four multi-point games in his last five games. And that, you know, like, you have a guy who's putting up numbers like this and who's skating as well as he is and who's playing as well as he is. Yeah, he's a little bit of a defensive liability. And we know that in Barry Trotz's system, you know, you have to play both ways, and I get it. But there are plenty of guys in the Islanders' top six who are playing horrible defensively, who are playing probably worse defensively than Wahlstrom is, who aren't producing the way that he is. So, you know, it this is one thing that I wholeheartedly disagree with Barry Trotz on. It's just, you got to give the kid a shot. And he kind of like trolled the media a little bit because somebody asked him last week about it. And his answer was, well, you know, I really hope that Wahlstrom becomes a top line winger at some point in his career. And, you know, look, I get it. You're a young guy. You got to earn your way, but look at the numbers and look at the production. If you double his minutes, or not even double his minutes, just give him like another five or six, the stat nines could be incredible.
At Detroit, home to Boston and Vegas, on top of the schedule manipulation shirt, I'm going to have one that says Isles in regulation, because I love that bet right now. And I think the Islanders are going to start to cook. Noah Dobson's another guy I would look at from a DFS point of view. I wanted to address as well, like all the injuries, guys, because as a fantasy owner, you have to adapt quickly. And in the past week, Landeskog, Wilson, Gensel, you know, Wheeler, Kadri, Duchesne, Cirelli, Toffoli, John Gibson. So who are some names, James, that you're identifying? And of course, the list is available, NHL.com/fantasy. But some names, you know, some dual eligible wingers. You brought up Wahlstrom. You brought up, you know, Kasperi Kapanen last week as well. Who are some guys you're looking at to help out, you know, fantasy owners? Just they don't know what to do right now because all these guys are getting hurt.
Jesper Bratt from the New Jersey Devils leads them in points right now. Only about 50% rostered in Yahoo leagues. He's having a great season on a very, very underrated and formidable line trio with Andreas Janssen and Dawson Mercer, who's been one of the more surprising rookies in the NHL this season. JT Compher came back for the Colorado Avalanche over the weekend, scored a goal. He's dual eligible, right wing and center. Valeri Nichushkin from Colorado. I mean, if you can tap into Colorado in any way, shape, or form, I know how much of a Nichushkin fan you are, Nick. You got to jump into some of these guys. Andre Burakovsky, 63% rostered, so he's a little bit on the higher end, but five goals in his last two games. You know, and any of these guys that you can possibly, you know, dip into. I know he's not dual eligible, but Andre Kasha right now from the Toronto Maple Leafs, only right wing eligible, but he's skating on that top line with Matthews in place of Mitchell Marner, who's going to be out probably for a matter of 3 or 4 weeks. So, you know, there's so much depth out there right now, and you really have to pay attention because a lot of line shuffling is going on. You can look at Pittsburgh right now, Evan Rodriguez, Kasperi Kapanen on that first line with Sidney Crosby, Danton Heinen getting more playing time there. So, you know, these lower percentage owned guys who have multiple position eligibility gives you that lineup flexibility for these streaming spots.
I would just add too that from a fantasy point of view, if you're an owner, so I think there's a process that goes and happens, at least in my world, when it comes to injuries. First and foremost, Pete, I just like to address and see, you know, where guys will slot in the lineup. Like, for instance, Blake Wheeler's hurt, so I think there's going to be some elevation for a Paul Stastny and Andrew Kopp. I think that's a unique way to look at it outside the box, you know, internal options and external options, right?
Yeah, for sure. Whenever you can, try to keep it in-house. I think if you could look for the minute muncher guys like JT Compher, like Andrew Kopp, if those guys are floating around. Kopp has kept it going even when he's been sent down. But of course, Compher missed about 10-plus games. So people forgot about him. He came back the other day. We threw him on the waiver wire list. He's a guy, even if he's on the third line, is going to produce for you. He's going to have 18 plus minutes a night based on his sample size this season. And then, yeah, if Berkey's on the top line with McKinnon and Rantanen, and Alex Newhook, it seems like, is filling in at center for Nazem Kadri with Nichushkin on his left and Logan O'Connor on his right. We talked about Logan O'Connor, his scoring upside. I like comp for a little bit more. I actually dropped Seth Jarvis over the weekend before he had another point the other day, but I picked up JT Compher just because I like that same dual position eligibility. I like the bigger minutes. I like a little more category coverage, and I like exposure to the Avalanche, who are scoring like 4.2 goals per game, leads the NHL. No other team has higher than the high threes. So right now it's like head and shoulders, Colorado Avalanche, highest scoring team in the NHL. So like James said, tap into them any way you can, even if it's like a Newhook on their second line, a Compher on their third line, or an Eric Johnson on their second pair as their number four defenseman. You know, the depths of that team fantasy-wise are really coming true right now.
If you go check out a dictionary, you look up the word wagon, you find a picture of the Colorado Avalanche boys. They're on fire. And that leads me into the next, you know, topic of conversation. Pavel Francouz, boys, he's back in the mix. I own Darcy Kuemper, James, in fantasy hockey. Admittedly, I took him probably higher than I should have, but I like the appeal with Colorado overall. I'm still lukewarm on Kuemper. How do you think this plays out, James, when it comes to Pavel Francouz being in the mix and unfortunately Jonas Johansson was placed on waivers?
Well, I think that everybody was expecting Johansson was gone as soon as Francouz got, you know, it's been a struggle. It's unfortunate. But it's been, you know, they swung and they missed with him. You know, and it is what it is. I'm not as high on Francouz as a lot of people are, just because I want to see him come back and I want to see him, you know, perform the way that he was. I mean, we're talking about a guy who really hasn't played effectively in a year and a half. And it's been a very, very long time since we've seen much of anything from Pavel Francouz. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, it's still Darcy Kemper's net. Kemper was my pick preseason for the Vezina. I thought that he was going to have, you know, a much better season, and he's not playing bad, but, you know, overall, you know, it's a run and gun team and their defense is showing it. You know, it's a very, very offensive minded defensive system that they have there. He played excellent against Florida over the weekend, allowing, you know, just the two goals. He beat Detroit, he beat the Rangers. So he's won three in a row, but yeah, I think that if you have Kemper, go out and get Francouz, because you want to secure that handcuff, because they're the highest scoring team in the league. It's kind of the Edmonton aspect of things, where you just want to tap into their goaltenders because they're going to have a probably better than 50% chance of winning every game. And so if you can secure that handcuff, 100%, but I'm not jumping on Pavel Francouz as a standalone guy just yet.
I'm considering him as a standalone. I have him stashed in one of my leagues as a fifth goalie. I'm going to have to make a tough decision, especially now. I'm not dropping Jake Oettinger, because now Ben Bishop sounds like he's retiring since mm-hmm. we last talked on the last show. So that certainly narrows it down for the Dallas Stars a little bit and helps a player like Oettinger, who I think is the best of that group. But I'm still considering trying to make room for Francouz. I mean, 3-1, .945 save percentage. That's as good as you could have hoped for him in the AHL during his conditioning stint. And yeah, I just think, like, Kemper, as good as he's been in the record column, 12-5 this year, the save percentage, a lot of room for improvement at .906. And if Francouz mm-hmm. comes in there and starts, you know, rattling off a .920 save percentage most nights, how could they ignore that, right? So I do think, like, an injury to Kemper in the future could pave the way to Francouz being the starter, but also Francouz is high end enough where he can cut into Kemper's time the second he joins the team and gets his first start. He backed up Kemper over the weekend, and I think he's going to get a start as early as this week.
My dream is to hoard goalies in fantasy hockey. I have like seven goalies and then deal them off, but nobody wants to make trades with me ever.
I'm in the same boat there. I had a question over the weekend, keeper league. Somebody doesn't have Kemper, but they have the Florida tandem, and they said, should I drop Spencer Knight for Francouz? And I'm leery on that. They're like, you know, I have Bobrovsky, he's playing unreal. Knight's really not playing. Should I, you know, do him, or should I try for Rask when he comes back, if he comes back? And I'm like, I don't want to break up a tandem like Florida if you have it, especially in a keeper league. But that's just me. I don't know about you guys.
I would definitely agree with that. You know, I think what you said about Francouz is right. Like, we are talking this guy up greatly, and he hasn't played a game in quite a bit of time, right? And certainly how loose Colorado is defensively, you wonder. So I would definitely keep the Florida tandem, Pete.
Right, and I would never drop Spencer Knight in a keeper league. I know that his save percentage isn't too hot either at .904 through 12 games. He's the very clear backup behind Bob right now. But I do think there will be a spurt at some point, especially after guys like Barkov and Duclair come back. If Bob struggles a little bit, I think they're going to get Knight some work. I mean, Florida's going to try to make a Stanley Cup run this year, and with some of the production swings for Bobrovsky, I think you're going to have Spencer Knight in top form if needed in the playoffs. So I do think they will get him some extended work. I think he's going to go on a 5+ game winning streak individually at some point this season. I still am holding on to Spencer Knight in two of my leagues as my fourth goalie. He's one of the guys that I might consider dropping in one of the leagues for Francois, that I have Francois stashed, but I can't do it yet. I just can't do it. I still hold him in a higher regard among rookies than the Swayman's and all the other rookies out there right now. Even Nedeljkovic, I still think Spencer Knight will be the most valuable rookie goalie when it's all said and done this season. And we'll see if it happens, but I'm confident in it.
Look, turbulence is expected, guys, when it comes to younger goalies. That's why maybe I wasn't as bullish as other people on Spencer Knight. I think there's going to be obviously some learning moments. And credit to Sergei Bobrovsky, by the way, like for a guy who's taken a lot of ridicule the last couple of years. I think he's been exceptional for the Florida Panthers, who have tons of depth. And certainly, I think when you look at that roster in general, even with the injuries, I think they're playing really, really well. And I think there's a lot to be had and uncover from a fantasy point of view as well. With the Florida Panthers. So James, any other things you want to get off your chest following this weekend, some bets you like in the future? Cause obviously there's a lot to play this week with a 53 game slate.
How much time do we have? Let me
all day, baby. Let's go.
Bobby's like, no. I do want to say though, just talking about the Panthers Avalanche game. I mean, that looked like a Stanley Cup preview last night. Amazing. That was a phenomenal game. Anybody who watched that game, that was outstanding. Bobby, I know I can see you wanting to chime in.
Well, listen, baby. It's funny you brought that up because I was gonna reference that Panthers Avalanche game. Like, I completely agree with you. It looked like a Stanley Cup matchup, and at this point, like, the way the Panthers are going, and also just the Avalanche have so many things. They got to batten down the hatches, like you guys are saying. But really, the Panthers are just, they are absolutely loaded on every single level. I see this team as listen, they're Eastern Conference final material. And I just think they're getting to the cup final. I just truly believe that right now as I watch them in the Eastern Conference. I know there's Tampa. I get it. But boy, oh boy, I like the Florida Panthers a lot.
I have to challenge that. I think everything goes through Florida, but it's not Sunrise, if you know what I'm saying. I've just been so impressed, and we talked about this last week too, guys, with Tampa and just the depth. And it doesn't matter who gets hurt. Like, now it's Anthony Cirelli, and I know they laid a bit of a stinker final game of their road trip on Saturday. Brian Elliott wasn't good in that game. But it just seems like guys step up. You know, Corey Perry, Taylor Radish. Like, the list goes on, Bob.
I'm ready to move on from the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right. I'm ready to move to the new done. Wave team. I think the Florida Panthers have arrived. And I, like you guys mentioned with Bobrovsky, I think a ton of credit goes to him. We were talking about it earlier in the season or in the preseason. I said, don't be surprised if Bobrovsky puts in a good year here. And that's what he's doing, Nick. That's what he's doing right
now. Can we find that clip?
Yeah, I'll pull it. Let's go. I mean, I like the Panthers. If we're talking about a team in Florida, I give credit. Vasilevsky's great. I understand.
He's
Tampa,
great.
But
he's
I'm ready to move on.
It's a Hall
I'm ready
of to Famer. Move on.
You're not winning three straight. You're just not doing it.
Okay.
Let's get the show back on the tracks here, James.
I think the people like what we're doing right now. Let's give them what they want, Bobby.
I think they hate me. No, I'm kidding.
You know, but getting back to the schedule manipulation aspect of things, I'm going to fade L.A. this week. I know you mentioned briefly a little bit about Victor Arvidsson, who I absolutely love. But you look at their schedule this week and it's just a murderer's row. I mean, four road games at Tampa, at Florida, at Carolina, at Washington. I'm going to fade L.A. this week. So anybody there, and I'm probably going to fade a team like the Devils too. I know I talked about, Brat before, but, Philly, Vegas, Detroit, Pittsburgh. I don't love that week of matchups for them either, the way that they're playing right now. Those are two teams that I would probably definitely shy away from. And I'm excited this week for a couple of matchups. Edmonton, Toronto tomorrow night on Tuesday, and then Toronto, Calgary on Thursday. So I'm really excited to see a couple of those matchups with the way that Toronto is playing right now. They're another one of those four game weeks this week. So definitely be tapping into some of the guys that you can get your hands on from a team like Toronto.
One team to keep an eye on, I think St. Louis Blues. They only play three games this week, but you saw Kyrou out of the lineup the other day. Braden Schenn had a point, but he's been really cold lately.
Nate Walker.
The
Aussie.
Walker, I wanted to mention Walker, Australian-born player for sure. And love it. You know, I think that lineup in general, like we see Barbashev, he can play center, he can play the wing, he can slot in on the second line, he can return value in the bottom six because of his category coverage. I mean, outside of like Colorado and Florida this year, I think the Blues have maybe been the third deepest offense in the league. Mm-hmm. So that's a team that I would always go to the well with. I would bookmark their lineups page. I would see who's playing in the top six that week. And I would roster those players because that's been a really exceptional group this year in terms of the scoring consistency. We're seeing Buchnevich explode. We're going to see better out of Ryan O'Reilly. Perron's out. It doesn't matter. That team's extremely deep.
Absolutely. The St. Louis Blues just ravaged by injury now. It's absolutely crazy. You got to give some love as well for Charlie Lindgren, right? You feel a bit for St. Louis, but I like the depth of that team. I think they're a sleeper team. Bob talked earlier about Florida. We talked about Colorado. Do not sleep on the St. Louis Blues. You have my word on that, James.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sleeping on the Blues since they won the Cup, and they consistently keep proving me wrong. I do love Nate Walker. You look at 5 points in three games so far, but it's the category covers that he's getting as well. 11 shots on goal and 9 hits, playing primarily on a line with Braden Schenn right now. So that's DFS gold right there. I don't know if I'm going to tap into him in season long leagues, but for sure, keep Nathan Walker on your list going forward this week because they have some pretty solid matchups. And Ivan Barbashev too. You know, you got to love what a lot of guys from St. Louis are doing. And you know, I think that's all I got. I think Nick, you wore me out today, buddy.
Hey, buddy, get used to it. A weekly basis, James. Thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing if the plays play out this week. Appreciate it.
All right, and we're gonna have to try and find the patented Nick Alberga revenge games on the schedule for next week so that we can hammer those as well.
Hammer job because it's an angle. You got to play the angles in betting. Thanks, James.
All right, guys. Thank you.
So follow Waiver Wire James on Twitter at Waiver Wire James, of course. And Nick, I wanted to get your thoughts since you're Toronto based, of course. Andre Kasha, a name that James threw out there. I think he's one of the best waiver wire pickups of the week. If you're considering Nino Niederreiter because of his exposure to Sebastian Aho, who missed the game on Sunday but has 5 straight multi-point games, I think it's a great comparison because you're considering the guy from Toronto, Andre Kasha, who plays with Austin Matthews. So maybe which situation do you like more out of the Nino Niederreiter Aho combination? Do you think that could stick or do you like Kasha better in Toronto with Matthews?
I would say he's Kosh money right now, right? Because sure. And I think the big key with Kasha right now, and he's an exceptional look, I think, on a weekly basis, is he's playing PP1, right? Do not forget that. So no Mitch Marner. He's playing in front of the net on PP1, and that's vital when you have Matthews, when you have Tavares, when you have Nylander, the way he's producing right now. So certainly I think of that question, I think I go for the hotter guy. I go for Kasha and the fact that there's the attachment to Austin Matthews. He's on a different planet right now, scoring goals. Pete, I'm probably angling myself there. Although I like what Nino Niederreiter has been doing because he's finding his game again. And it's been a while since I've been able to say that, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Nino's a little inconsistent for me. Yeah. Obviously in a bangers league, he gets you the shots, he gets you the hits. Whenever he's playing in the top six, especially the top line, he always, you know, puts forth a nice streak over the course of any season. But I still look back to Kasha in his days with Anaheim. I expected more from Kasha with the Boston Bruins, but I think it was just like there were always there's always something inconsistent. Even as good as Krejci was at points the past few years, he wasn't the player that he used to be during certain stretches. And there was never really that ripple effect with Kasha in terms of getting the fifth spot on the Bruins PP1 or getting much fantasy returns on the second line at even strength. But I look back, Kasha, his second season, he had 20 goals playing mostly on the third line in 66 games with Anaheim in 2017-18. So if you're going to say Andre Kasha has 30 goal potential playing with Austin Matthews, I actually, and on power play one, I actually think that's pretty realistic. I think he's a dark horse candidate to drop 30 this year, especially if Marner misses some significant time, like it sounds like he will.
Well, that's the key, right? Because if Marner's healthy, Kasha's on the third line. He's looked really effective as a sort of a combo with a combo, I should say, with David Kampf. The last thing I wanted to touch on, I wanted to give some appreciation for Chandler Stephenson. I know we're all excited, and I'm beyond excited owning Jack Eichel, and I want to see him play with Pacioretty and Stone. I don't think it's written in stone that we're going to see Eichel with that line, because all Chandler Stephenson does is produce those guys. They just have that chemistry, don't they, Pete?
Right. He had like four assists over the weekend. He was their leading scorer, right? Yeah. He was leading scorer when Stone and Pacioretty were both out at the same time. So, I mean, what an amazing trade that was in hindsight to get him when he was in the bottom six in Washington. So, I do think that Chandler Stephenson has kind of been better than William Karlsson each of the past 2 years.
Sure.
And maybe even if Eichel is the number one center with those two guys, maybe they mix it up here and there, and maybe he's the number two center and they break up that second line, because you can't put Chandler Stephenson as a third line center with what he's shown you this season with a breakout season.
I agree. And how long does it take for Eichel to get back healthy? I mean, we were talking, oh, is this going to be the best line in hockey? I mean, don't overlook Chandler Stephenson. I work with a guy, Darren Millard, who covers that team every single night, nightly basis, and says it's not a foregone conclusion that Jack Eichel's coming in and taking Chandler Stephenson's spot. You hit the nail right on the head. I mean, it's hard to do when you look at the chemistry of those guys on the ice. Anyway, real quick, gambling corner. We have a one-game Monday slate. So there's not much to look at today, but a little bit going on Tuesday. Nick, where do you want to start? And then we'll go to Pete and we'll put a bow on it.
I'll give you a little Monday play. Why not? Under 5.5, I'm looking at. You're looking at Marc-Andre Fleury against Jacob Markstrom. Why not? So I think I have a look there. I talked about Isles in regulation on Tuesday night. They're at Detroit. The Wings have lost 3 in a row. And I'm hammering the Rangers puck line on Wednesday. They're playing the Arizona Coyotes.
I'm looking at a couple teams on the Tuesday slate. I think, I wanted to mention for DFS, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen for the Buffalo Sabres. He's 0-2-1 since he was recalled, but he's got like a 939 save percentage or something crazy like that. So shout out to him. He came in for his first game. He had that lacrosse style goal beat him, but he only allowed 2 goals in that game. He had 40 saves the other day. So I think there is a strategy in DFS to roster like the cheapest goalie you can that's going to get you a high save volume. So he definitely fits the bill with that. And he's their goalie of the future. They shouldn't be playing guys like Aaron Dell and Tokarski anymore. They should be playing this kid for most nights the rest of the season, I think.
Can you imagine your first game in the NHL or you know, you get called up and you're posterized forever. Now, you know how many times he's going to have to see that replay?
The dish again is what they're calling it in Canada.
He's probably getting calls from, you know, his friends and his, you know, his parents like, hey, man, just hang in there. No big deal, you know, whatever. But for him to bounce back and to make saves and to keep his head on straight, that's pretty impressive, Pete.
Yeah, it is, no doubt. At least he wasn't in the picture when Zegras had that mind-blown look on his face. You know, he was out in the distance. So
it's funny you bring that up, too, because I know Corey Hurst the other days. I don't know if you guys saw this. So Elias Pettersson scores the Peter Forsberg in the shootout, and Corey Hurst has an interview with Elias Pettersson. He's like, do you know who the goalie was for that Forsberg goal? It was Corey Hurst. So maybe in 20 years from now, we talk to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and that's what happens there.
We'll see. Hopefully for the Buffalo Sabres sake, we're talking about him 20 years from now and some good things on the horizon for a young team in Buffalo. But yeah, I'm looking at, you know, the Hurricanes, and they're playing the Wild on Tuesday. I think the Wild, you know, played high scoring hockey with the Golden Knights the other day. I'm just a little concerned if Aho is not going to be there. So I do think the Wild have that matchup advantage, and the schedule hasn't really been on Carolina's side lately. So maybe, you know, that's two of the best, what, 5 or 6 teams in the NHL this season. So that's definitely one game I'm looking forward to, and a measuring stick game for Minnesota. I think Minnesota is a really strong home team. So, you know, give Minnesota an edge, but Sebastian Aho has been ridiculous. He has been like the single hottest player in all of fantasy One of my leagues, I have Leon Draisaitl. He's been a little hot and cold lately. I'd probably rather have Aho when he's healthy right now, the way that he's been playing. That may sound crazy, but look at the stat sheet at how good Aho has been. So hopefully he comes back from his illness pretty soon.
Petey, I'm all tapped out. All I can say is I hope I continue to ride this hot wave into our next podcast later this week.
We got week 10 mailbag and rankings edition coming up this Thursday. So yeah, for Waiver Wire, James Harding, thanks again for joining us. Bob Bender, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, saying so long here. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Leave us a review, by the way, on Apple Podcasts or the NHL Fantasy Facebook page. Those are the two places you could show your support for the show. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks for listening.